Can we edit that part out?
If you want me to.
Please. Really?
You want to make it smooth?
Out. Yeah, not like
I gotta
the other
make
time.
It smooth.
Okay,
like
go
I,
ahead.
You could be in my mom's class.
That was harsh, Rachel.
My mom's a special ed teacher.
Rachel, stick it in your face.
Welcome to the Elevate Podcast.
Here we go!
Here we go! Here we go! Here we go!
Tonight we continue the D-Factor series with a message entitled The Decision Factor, where Pastor Jay shows us how our values guide our decisions.
So here we are in the same old spot, knowing something needs to happen but our mouths are locked. Tongue tied, clothes tied, sealed shut, yup. I tried hard but it just wouldn't come up. It's on.
Hey everybody, welcome out to the Elevate Podcast. This is podcast number 28. I am Pastor Jay, and I've got some awesome young ladies here in the studio with me. Not that this is a studio. It's like our Elevate meeting room. So
call it what you want.
But this is our podcast, podcast number 28. I'll introduce these young ladies here in just a minute. This podcast is called Decision Factor Cast. The Decision Factor Cast. And I'm going to let Shelly read you our big idea for the night.
Our values guide our decisions.
We're in a series so called The D Factor. The D Factor, where decisions determine your destiny. And our message tonight was called The Decision Factor. And that's why our big idea was values.
Guide our decisions.
That's it. So here with me is Shelly.
Hello.
Rachel.
Hello.
And new to the podcast this week for the first time, very, 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 very first time, is Brittany. Say hello, Brittany.
Hello.
Woo! Awesome. So awesome, awesome. This is going to be a great podcast because somebody's not here.
Woohoo!
Yep.
But we'll let him off the hook. He has needles jabbed into his back today.
He's in a lot of pain. He already went to bed.
What happened?
He had some shots in his back today.
Juno got some shots into his spine. Shots like needles stuck into his spine. He has back problems.
He's crying like a baby.
Yeah, if he's like most guys, he's crying like a baby because I have back problems.
He was crying like a baby last night.
Aww. Oh, that he was going to have to do it?
Yeah. I gave him some turtles.
You what?
Some turtles. I gave him nothing. I gave him grief. He like.
You told him, "Buck up, boy."
It hadn't even happened yet.
Us women have to have babies, and you're talking about a little needle. Come on.
Should have said that.
That would have been a good one, wouldn't it?
Always throw
tomorrow,
because he might call in tomorrow.
This is what happens when people, our hosts and our peoples, don't show up, even if it's for a legitimate reason. They get toasted,
this wasn't
right?
Legit.
They get dogged. They get toasted. They get all of that good stuff. So, Decision Factor. This is a great series. I got a little rough tonight. You'll probably hear it. I got in people's face because they decided they were going to talk.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
I loved every
minute
of that.
Yeah, that was really good.
And so I
enjoyed that.
Well, and here's the deal. I'm passionate about some things, and I see teenagers all the time make dumb decisions that really end up hurting them. And some of them know better, and some of them don't know better. They're just making decisions in their life, because I made some of those as well. And so it's really passionate when, you know, people take or kind of heed the warning lightly. And I know that people got to end up making their own decisions in life. I mean, that's a given. God doesn't force any of us. He says, hey, if you want to screw up your life, go ahead. You know? That's kind of the good thing about God. Although we probably say, can you stop me sometimes? Mm-hmm. But God doesn't. You know, he allows us to make decisions. And some of those decisions we make not only hurt our lives, but hurt others. And so when to a degree, when I hear people take it lightly, it kind of burns me. Cranks my tractor. It gets my goat. It just, something in me just jumps out of me and says, It's like the Hulk.
Well, I'm happy you did that tonight.
So, be prepared at the end of this message to hear, not me go off, but hear me get in our teenager's face a little bit, right? Wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Didn't you feel like that?
Yeah. The boys.
The boys did, yeah. I put a lot of onus on guys, you know, and I have one guy in our audience tonight. He said, well, girls do it too. And I was like, ah, wait a minute, hold on. You're a guy. You're the head. You're the lead. You're the lead person. And it is your responsibility as a guy. You know, don't give me that, well, girls do it too mess. You know, girls, yes, they do it too. And I'll admit that. And probably y'all would too, right? Not all girls, but some girls.
Some. Not me.
And I know we haven't really told what we're talking about, but hopefully everybody can read between the lines. But guys, there's something about they understand how to twist girls' emotions sometimes, mm-hmm. and play to girls' emotions and to get them to do certain things. And again, I know girls can do it as well. But God has designed the guy to be the head, the leader, and to be able to make that decision when it comes. So they really can't be twisted that certain way. I don't know if it's just in our genetic makeup, but that's why we screw it up in that time. But anyway, I'm going to change the subject. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I'm missing my host here.
I'm not missing the host.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Brittany, let me ask you. You're on the podcast here for the first night. We're talking about decisions. How hard do you think it is for a teenager to make decisions sometimes?
Really hard.
And to say that, kind of what are maybe some decisions maybe you faced or that were a hard decision? I mean, you don't have to tell on yourself, you know, necessarily.
Well, there was a couple months ago I had this problem and I kept doing the wrong thing, and I knew that it was wrong, so I needed to stop, and I kept, you know, asking God, just stop me, you know, but he said, you have to make the decision, so I made it, and I'm good now, so.
And it did come back to what we're talking about tonight, ultimately the value, because, you know, when I hear you talk, you kept saying, I kept going to God, mm-hmm. and saying, God, stop, but the thing I hear is, I kept going to God. You know, I kept going to God. So God was that value, that deciding factor. Shelly, Rachel, what do you think? You're a little bit older than teenagers now. You face these rough decisions, and obviously you still face them. Well, what are some hard decisions you girls have had to make before?
One for me was what I wanted to do after I graduated high school. I've gone to college. I quit college. Went back to college, I quit college, and now I'm kind of working, and I start class. Now I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna start classes, and it's for massage therapy, and so by the beginning of next year I should be done, and then I'll be working for myself for like the rest of my life.
So what was that driving factor? I mean, off on why was it off well, on? I mean, it's like me when I changed my major, you know, like
right,
18,000 times.
So you see something, you think it's really interesting, and you want to go do that, and then you get bored. And you see something else, and you want to go do that, and just kind of like back and forth like that.
And so now what is that thing, that decision, what's that deciding thing, that factor that has said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to stick it out, and I'm going to finish?
Well, for one, I'm broke, and I need money.
That's a good one, right? Broke.
Yeah.
Mom, dad said, no more money.
That's it. I'm cut off. And the second one is that I want to actually do something myself. I want to do it, like, not just for the money, but for me to say that I did it. I'm working for myself. I have all these clients. Yeah.
Awesome. Shelly, you're up. What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat right now.
The off-on college start-stop job kind of thing?
Well, I finished college in December.
Oh.
And now I'm at this point where, well, maybe I should go back to school and so I can get a job because I can't get a job.
You can't get a job with what you went to college for?
Because I have no experience.
You know, that's the rough thing about life that I notice. And Brittany, you being still in high school, you'll probably notice this. I've noticed this a lot. You look in the paper for a job, and they say you got to have 5 years of experience and a college degree. And then all of a sudden you go, well, how can I get the I got the college degree, but how can I get the experience? I'm getting a phone call right now from Jared Day. What'd you say? I think Brittany's microphone didn't.
My brother.
Yep, from Jared Day, and I didn't answer, and it says missed call. But it's kind of weird. It's like, how can I get this experience if you don't give me the experience?
I know.
Yeah, they want like
that.
Master's degree with 10 years of experience, and it's like, and nobody. I mean. It's like all these master's degrees and for this job that needs 10 years of experience. So I get out of college and I get my master's degree and nobody will hire me because I don't have 10 years of experience. And it's like this. Is that how you felt?
It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
So you're deciding to go back to college?
It's an option. I'm not saying I'm doing it.
Oh.
I just recently started considering it like yesterday.
Yesterday.
You're such a go-getter.
Hey. I was at an employment agency, and I said, maybe I should go back to school and do something else because this isn't working.
So let me ask you this then. What kind of was the deciding factor here? I mean, what's driving you to, like, do this?
Frustration's driving me to it.
Frustration. I can keep you busy, you know.
Oh, you're keeping me busy.
Yeah, I decided... My decision factor was I was super overloaded and Shelly needed some experience.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you know, on your side job of looking for a job, why don't you be my kind of administrative assistant? And you know what? I gave her a new title this week.
What was it?
So Juno's going to come back next week, and he's going to be
a
like,
new title
and
again?
This is our new follow-up director, and I'm going to say, dude, she's now the administration director.
I love it. Sounds good, right? I think I need to change my resume again.
Ooh.
Yep.
I'm just videographer.
She's the administration director.
That sounds amazing.
She has had more.
Really impressive.
She's had more promotions in Elevate than anybody I know.
Hey, I need to put that in my resume.
Highly promoted.
Hey. You
do. Go get her.
Go get her.
I'm a go getter.
That's right. Yeah.
And my mom says I'm resourceful, but we won't go there.
Awesome. Hey, you guys, our girls, have talked more than any other time in the podcast history.
Wow.
You girls have come out your shell.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Right?
Why not? Now, next week, if...
Juno comes back and then it'll all stop because he'll just talk and talk.
Yeah, but next week, though, here's what you... When I ask the question, you can't just sit here... Like that, like you did last week on me.
But you ask hard questions when he's here.
Yeah.
And these were easy ones tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brittany, what do you think? How do you think this whole decision factor kind of thing is going?
Like what you're teaching? You like
uh-huh.
it? I like it.
Now, as
tonight was really good.
Do what?
Tonight was really good.
Yes. And this is it's almost a different way of me teaching this than I've ever taught in the past. And I'm really going into the whole decision, determine your destiny thing. Next week, I assume it's going to be a great message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I assume it's going to be a great night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about the determine factor.
Ooh.
And how the things we're passionate about... play a role in determining our decisions. They play a role in our decisions. That's what determine is. Determine is like I'm determined to do something. It's like I'm passionate about it. So people make decisions based on the things they're passionate about. And that even goes back to what we were talking about tonight. I'm blabbering. I feel like it. I'm trying to hustle here. Run fast. Talk fast. Sound like a girl.
Hey.
I was wondering if y'all were going to catch that. But So we're going to talk about passion. So, girls, Brittany, I'm glad you were on. I just kind of pulled you in and said you're coming on. You're like, what? Thanks for coming on our podcast this week. Shelly, Rachel, you girls are awesome. I tell you that every week.
Thank you.
I have a little tidbit I'd like to share with everyone.
Oh, Shelly got a tidbit.
We
got a Shelly tidbit for tonight.
Oh, it's a Shelly tidbit.
It's a tidbit.
It's a little tidbit for y'all.
It's a little tidbit.
I've come up with this all on my own.
I had a J-ism. And then, of course, we had Juno-isms. And now we have a Shelly tidbit.
We got the Shelly tidbit of the night.
I was going to close this out. Got a tidbit.
I
got to
share my little tidbit I made up all by myself.
I'm feeling a little left out here.
I don't have anything. Well, Rachel, you better
tidbit-ism.
Get on it. I got a tidbit.
A tidbit-ism.
All right, tidbit-ism. Y'all. This is the tidbit for tonight.
Okay, go for it.
All right. We can all agree that life's a trip. What are you using to gain directions? God is the OnStar for our lives. Don't be afraid to ask God for directions. That's my tidbit for tonight.
Did you hear that? God is the OnStar in your life.
That was nice.
That was beautiful.
So what does that mean?
It means God can direct us.
When you need help, just
when you need help, just ask God. He'll give you direction.
We should do some kind of like video for that. That'd be a good video.
That would be. Do you have OnStar?
God is the OnStar.
You got OnStar? Because I sure
don't.
Who
has OnStar?
I don't know anybody with OnStar.
Like the easy button, you know? Like
in the car.
Huh?
In the car.
Yeah, okay.
When you don't know your direction, God
can be. I was watching an episode of something on TV the other day, and they were doing OnStar.
That was amazing.
It was funny. Awesome. And I was thinking about this.
Was it Reba?
It was Reba.
I love Reba.
I don't get to watch Reba.
Why not?
I miss that whole.
I have practice after school. Well, not anymore.
Me and my mom are addicted to Reba.
Okay.
They're hilarious. Oh, Pastor Jay's lost.
He didn't know Reba.
I missed this whole what Reba thing.
It's hilarious. We were watching it, and Barbara Jean was talking to the OnStar, and it was funny.
And that's how you got your tidbit,
Reba?
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Four people in that funny accident. That was so funny.
This is what happens when I let y'all talk. I have totally lost
Barbara
control
Jean.
Of this podcast.
She's my hero. Juno's not my hero. Barbara Jean's my hero.
I like Barbara Jean. She's funny.
She's awesome.
I have really lost control here.
Reba. The show. It's a show on Lifetime Television for women.
Oh, it's on Lifetime. Oh, that's probably why I don't watch it.
Reba, the singer.
The
I know,
singer?
Reba McEntire.
Yeah. She's hilarious.
With the red hair.
I didn't think she'd be so funny, but she's funny.
She's hilarious.
I've never seen a single episode.
You need to watch it.
Not while it was on and not while it's in reruns.
We watch reruns, me and my mom. We recorded on the DVR and we watch
it. I watch Heroes.
I've never seen that ever.
I haven't seen it either. Don't feel bad.
There's two episodes left.
I know.
We're going to have like an end of season watching episode at my house.
Right. Y'all do that.
Heroes.
I don't know what's going on.
I watch Heroes and I watch Lost.
I don't watch Lost. I don't watch Lost.
I don't have any time to watch TV.
I record it on DVR and watch it when I have time.
I don't
time.
Have that. I think my parents do in their room, but I don't have it.
So it's a decision. I don't either.
It's a decision.
I decide to watch Reba.
I can't because this is my mom.
They'll never get off.
We are really way off track, aren't we?
Yeah.
I've almost let y'all talk because this is like a first in podcast history.
I know.
Y'all have used all your words for the day on the podcast.
Remember the Shelly tidbit for
the
tonight.
Tidbit. Don't forget the tidbit.
God is the OnStar of your life.
Shelly, you're awesome. Rachel, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Brittany, thank you for being on our podcast
tonight. You're welcome.
You're awesome as well. This has been the Elevate Podcast, podcast number 28, and it is called Decision Factor Cast. Hey, everybody out there, don't forget, we're having a contest. If you're listening to this, you need to go to groups.myspace.com/Junoites. No, Elevites.
Junoites.
Elevites.
Junoites.
Elevites.
Junoites, unite!
Elevites. So.
Junoites.
Next week, we'll tell you more about our verb. I'll make sure the girls know it. But if you want to read more about Elevate, go to Elevate's MySpace, or you can go to my blog, which is jcurley.blogspot.com. You guys have a great week. We love you. Thank you for listening. You're awesome.
Guys, this is the word of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Where am I reading from? 4 through 7. And what we're talking about today is the gift of attitude. Let me tell you guys, anybody here ever had a job before? You got one, that's good. You just got hired at HEB. Well, I'm telling you, man, attitude is altitude. You guys, with your parents, where you're at the job, with the supervisor, if you have the right attitude, it'll take you somewhere. It'll take you higher. And a lot of times I notice people that have good attitudes, they get positions that people that may be more qualified, but they don't have the right attitude. You catch what I'm saying? So you got to have the right attitude. And this is what this scripture reminds me of when I think about the attitude. And this is how us as Christians that walk with Christ should have. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. What does rejoice mean? Be happy. Have a good attitude. Good. And it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's another attitude. It says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me say something about attitude, especially young men back there. There's going to be times and circumstances that come your way, and you got to have the right attitude before God, because God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, make your known your heart and your request known to God. See, there's going to be times in our lives that we got to have the right attitude before God so God can work on our behalf, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what's going on in your life. So keep that in mind. We're going to lift up our offerings. We're going to pray over them. We're going to ask God to receive it with the right attitude, okay, as we give unto his kingdom.
At the start of my freshman year in college, I was enrolled as a business major. And that would soon change. Not once. Not twice. Three times. Three times my freshman first semester, I changed my major. I started as a business management major. I thought, well, I like computers. I'm going to go ahead and switch to computer science. Got in computer science, figured out computer science, lots of homework, playing football, doesn't mix. Not going to happen. So I changed to industrial technology. Whatever that was. I don't even know, still don't know what that was. Then all of a sudden I decided by the end of that first semester I was going to change back to business management. And so after that I just stayed in business management, didn't get back out. But part of all this changing was just kind of like figuring out what I liked the most. When I started in business, I knew I liked computers. But then again, like I said, too much homework. You know, I don't know if you guys agree with that, but too much homework, playing sports, just, yeah, not. So I got into computers, got into that other thing, industrial technology, still didn't know, and chose business management. Now, it was the idea of making money. I started trying to figure this out and said, you know, what major should I get? Well, you know, I liked money. Money was a good thing, right? I think, I don't know if y'all ever heard of Zig Ziglar, but he said that money is like air. You know, it's like right up there with air. You know, you got to have air and you got to have money, right? How many of y'all agree with that? Nobody? All right, thank you. I'm batting zero so far. Thank you again, John. Money's good, though. I mean, shoot, it pays the bills, right? I mean, you got to pay the bills, and you might as well have enough money to do something on the side, you know? So all of that, my decision came down to the factor was I needed to make money. And, you know, of course, at that time in my life, you know, I wasn't a follower of Christ, so it just made perfect sense. So, you know, let me make as much money as I can. Let's get in business management. That's why tonight our message is called The Decision Factor. You see, all of the choices in our lives come down to a deciding factor. It comes down to that one factor that guides the decisions we make. You see, there is something in us that guides us into making a decision. To each person, it is different. But no matter what, the decision we make is based on who we are. So you guys, watch this clip. Oh, man. I always wonder how, man, she just lands, you know, drops like 25 feet just perfectly to catch that rail, right? Crazy. But see, Spider-Man right there had to make a decision, didn't he? He had to make a decision. Who's he going to save? Now, you notice, which one did he go for first? Okay, so in my thinking is, hey, he thought he was going to save both of them, but if there was one chance that he wasn't going to save one or the other, he was going to go for the one that he valued the most. And he went for Mary Jane, right? Because you guys all know the Spider-Man thing. That was who he loved. You see, it's who we are that guides the decisions we make. And that's why our big idea today, make sure you write it in your notes there, it's our values guide our decisions. Our values will guide the decisions we make. See, every decision we make is going to be guided by what we value the most. How many of you would like to walk out of here tonight knowing that you can make a good or a right decision? Right? The rest of you have no care at all? You know, if I make a bad decision, who cares, you know? Okay. I guess that's true. As I look through my past, the major factor to the decisions I made, whether they were good or bad, were the things that I valued. Every decision I made, I can look back, especially major ones, they were based on the things that I valued the most. So then what are the deciding factors in your lives? What are the deciding factors in your lives? What are the things that guide your decisions? What are they? What are those things that guide the decisions you make? What? You see, we make decisions based on what we value the most. You know, all the time you hear people throw around that word called love. I love pizza. I don't know why I always go to food. I love my dog. I hate my cat. I can't say the other thing, man. I'm sorry. I love my car, man. Oh, I love that band. Oh, man. Oh, I love that song. Oh, when I hear that song, oh, I love it. Right? We toss that word around. Oh, I just love my boyfriend. I mean, we throw that love word around, man. We love pizza. We love our dog. We love our cat. We love our car. We love money. We love this. We love that. And we just throw that word around, love. Well, what does it mean? What are we really saying when we say that word love? We are saying what we value the most. When we say the word love, we are saying the thing we value the most. When I say I love pizza and I hate spinach, what am I saying? I value pizza a lot more than I value spinach, right? I'm saying what I value the most. See, love is a value word. And when we say we love something, we are really saying that we have a higher value for whatever that is. I like what Roy Disney said. He said, it's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. See, it's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. When you understand those things you value the most, it becomes easy to make a decision. So the question is, do you understand your values? Do you know what your values are? Do you understand, or do you even know what your values are based on tonight? As you're sitting here at Elevate, do you know the things you value the most? Do you know what your values are? You see, when you understand your values and what they are based on, you will begin to understand how to make a good or a right decision. So as we go in our biblical foundation, I want you guys to open up, and you girls too, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, because I didn't put this in your notes. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look at how hard this whole decision thing can be. Because this decision thing, it really is hard. And after that, we're going to look in the Bible at two men who were faced with very similar decisions, and how each of them handled them. We're going to look at two examples of how somebody faced with the same decision handled them. So are you there yet? Romans chapter 7? Yeah. All right, verse 15 through 23. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. That's the NIV version. It says NIV. It says, I do not understand what I do. Listen to this. I'm going to start over. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Boy, that was a lot of do's, wasn't it? A whole lot of do's. It was Romans 7:15. Watch this. I got this in your notes. It's from the Message Bible. It breaks it down real simple for you tonight. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary, but I need something more. See, what he's saying is this. He says, man, the things that I want to do right. But it seems like I just do what's wrong. You ever feel like that? It's like, I know what the right thing to do here is, but, you know, I just seem to do wrong. I can't understand it. And then he says, then there's those things where I know I shouldn't do this, and I just do it. And he said, man, there's a struggle inside of me that I can't figure out. It's like, what can I do? How can I do it? I need some help. I need something else. These decisions I make are hard. This is Paul writing this. He said, these decisions I make are hard, and I need something else. It's not just wanting to do what's right and not wanting to do what's wrong. Because if you're like me, there are lots of things that I know, man, are wrong. And somehow I just find myself doing them. You know what I mean? I just find myself somehow doing it. Doesn't make any sense. You know, like, you're supposed to obey your parents, but man, they get on your nerves and they want you to do it when you don't want to do it. Right? Come on. Maybe you feel like that. Don't worry, I'm not videoing you, so I'm not going to send it to your parents. But sometimes, you know, you just, maybe you feel like that. Or you know you shouldn't cheat on the test, but man, you didn't study enough and you don't want to fail, and so you know you shouldn't do it, but you find yourself looking right at that test. Right? And that's even, man, if you're a Christian, come on, you can't tell me that you guys follow Christ and you ain't never done that. Come on. Maybe not everybody, but some of you probably have. What'd you say? Or here's another one. You know you shouldn't lie, but man, if you tell your mom the truth, you're going to get whooped, you know? And so it's like, no, I didn't do that, Mom. No, no. Right? Right? Come on. So he's saying, it's those things I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing them. Because there's this war raging inside of us. And it's not enough just to know that you shouldn't do it. You know, it's not enough to know that it's right or wrong. He said, I need something else. See, because you can know it's right or wrong, and you still end up doing it. So there's this other factor. That's probably why Napoleon Bonaparte said this. Nothing is more difficult and therefore more precious than to be able to decide. See, what this part of the Bible is about our complete inability to save ourselves because of our sinful nature. So I told you we want to look at two guys who had to make this tough decision. First guy is David. And if you got your Bibles, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now that's close to the front. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So it's close to the front. You just keep going. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. I want you to hear this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. See, that was a decision right there. Said when the time at the time when the kings were supposed to be off to war, where was David? He stayed home. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Now, here we go. This is where the decision factor comes in. David's walking around on his roof, sees a beautiful woman. He should have been off to war. And he has to make a decision. What's David going to do? Now, we know what he should do, right? We know that David shouldn't do this. And we know that David should do this. It's real simple for us to see it, right? But here's that do thing. Here's that do. What is he going to do? See, we get to that moment of decision and what happens? You know, for each one of you, it's different. It goes back to what you value. What you value. So how did David do this? What did he do? Let's look. Verse 3. 2 Samuel, verse 11, verse 3. Oh, by the way, you need to start bringing your Bibles because I'm not going to keep putting them all in your notes. So make sure if you want to read this. It said, and David sent someone to find out about her. So here's David. He's at this decision point. He sees this beautiful woman. He's walking around on his roof. And what should he do? I'm sure David knew what he should do. David knew he should do this. David knew he should turn around and go back in. David knew he should not do what he ended up doing. And what did he do? David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So now here's David. Decision factor. He already shouldn't have been doing it. He ended up doing it, and then he ended up going a step further. And now he's at another decision factor. Let's look at a guy that had a similar decision to make. Genesis 39. Turn over there real quick. That's easy. First book of the Bible. Genesis. There's nothing before it. It's just Genesis. And chapter 39, let's look in verse 6. Y'all there? If you're there, say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
If you're not there, don't say nothing. Genesis 39, verse 6 through 7. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, at this time, Joseph was he was not working, but he was a slave to Potiphar. And Potiphar was this just well-known guy, real powerful person, and Joseph was his slave. And Joseph had worked, he was faithful, he did a lot of things. And what did Potiphar do? Potiphar put everything in his care to him. Now look at this, verse 7. Now Joseph was well-built, kind of like me, and handsome, really kind of like me. Amen. Thank you, John. I don't know if that was a good thing. And after a while, his wife, his master's wife, took notice of Joseph. Uh-oh. Sounds like a decision coming on. Let me read that again, because maybe you didn't catch it. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said this, "Come to bed with me." Here we go again. Joseph, decision factor. What are you going to do, Joseph? You know what you shouldn't do. You know what you should do. What are you going to do, Joseph? What are you going to do, Joseph? Same thing David went through. David sees a beautiful woman. What should he do? Same decision. What did David do? David blew it, didn't he? But what's Joseph going to do? See, he's going to do what he values the most. Joseph is going to do, just like David did, what they valued the most. Watch this, Genesis 39, verse 8 through 9. But he refused. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. Here's the value right here. Watch this. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? What did he value the most? Man, he valued God the most. See, not only that, but in verse 10, we see that he does this day after day. This woman comes to him day after day, it says in verse 10. Comes back, hey, Joseph, come on. No, not going to do it. Joseph, please, come on. You're handsome. Come on, you're well built. You look good. I don't know how the girls would say it. If it was the flip side, I could make fun of that. But even to the point in verse 12, look in verse 12, that he runs out of the house. He runs out of the house. It says she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Man, Joseph had his values right. See, folks, whatever you value the most is going to be the decision factor in your life. Whatever you value the most. See, the decision factor. What are you going to do? How will you decide? What are you allowing to shape your decisions? Let's look at Romans, back to Romans chapter 7. I got it in your notes. Verse 24 through 25 says, what a wretched man I am. This is how it finishes. He said, what a wretched man I am. I do what I don't want to do, and I do. And he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who's going to rescue me? I can't stop. And he says this, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, there was something bigger in his life. He recognized that he needed something more than just a command. Something more than just to know it's right or wrong. Because just knowing right or wrong, folks, if you're like me, knowing right or wrong doesn't stop you. Knowing whether it's right or wrong doesn't stop. It goes back to your values. That's why, here's how we apply this tonight. Here's how we apply it. And I'm getting close to being done, you guys. Last week we said when we are looking at decisions, we needed to what? We needed to weigh the consequences. You guys remember that? If you're going to make your decision, because decisions dominate, decisions determine your destiny, and because they do, you need to weigh the consequences. You need to look and say, hey, what are going to be the consequences of this decision? It's going to determine down the road what's going to happen to me. And that's why this week, as we start to apply this message, I want you to fill in your notes. You need to let the Word guide your convictions. You need to let God's Word guide your convictions. Your convictions need to be based on God's Word. Convictions, what are they? Convictions, simple. That may be a word some of you never heard of before. Convictions are a fixed or strong belief. It are those things you feel strongly about. They're those things you feel so strongly about. It's your convictions. Now I want to show you one of the most dangerous movies of all time. I thought about it. I was really mixed. I didn't know whether I should get some kind of permission slip, but I figured it'd be hard with guests. You know, maybe you needed to get permission from your parents to watch this clip. This is one of the dangerous movies of all time. It has shaped how we think. It has shaped how we think. So, are you ready? You sure? You going to tell your parents? Maybe. Uh-oh. Okay, I'm going to do it. You guys, watch this clip. Now, I know what you guys were thinking. How many of y'all remember that song? Come on. I know you don't have to be old and remember that. Give a little whistle. Give a little whistle. And then he says this. He says, and always let your conscience be your guide. Now, folks, listen to this. That movie, and if you listen to that song, has shaped how we make decisions today. It is shaped. He said, when you don't know whether it's right or wrong, let your conscience be your guide. When you're faced with temptation, let your conscience be your guide. That is the most dangerous thinking that you could ever think. Because here's the big thing. You can't trust your conscience. You can't trust your conscience. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You got to read this with me. I put it in your notes because it is so powerful. Verse 3 through 5 says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Watch this. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. You see, just because you think that it's okay doesn't mean it is. Do you know how screwed up that thinking is? Let your conscience. What if your conscience says it's okay to go out and kill people? Oh, but that's an extreme. No, it's not. What if your conscience says it's okay? What if your conscience says it's okay to lie in this situation? Does that make it right? No. And that's why that is the most dangerous thinking you have. You cannot live by what your conscience says. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. See, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time, but wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Jeremiah 17:9. Watch this. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You see, when it comes to our decisions, it's important that we don't rest on our conscience. Folks, because your conscience will mess you up. Your conscience will mess you up. your conscience is clear, that'll make you innocent. See, your heart, well, you know, it just feels right. I don't care. That's why you have to live by the word, because your heart will tell you wrong. Your heart's deceitful. It'll tell you wrong. That's why it always goes back to Romans 7:24. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, when we allow the word to guide our convictions, it establishes the things we value the most. That is the decision factor. That's the decision factor. Imagine with me the day a friend comes along and asks you to go to a certain party that you know you shouldn't go to, because if you go to it, they're going to be doing some stuff that you know you shouldn't do. And imagine the day that you will turn to your friend and say, you know what? No, thank you. I'm not going. That day will happen when you determine what you value the most, especially as a follower of Christ. Imagine the day when that boy comes up to you and says, ooh, girl. And girls, listen to me. Listen to me, girls. I'll say it because I'm a guy. Guys can be snakes. And you watch them. I don't care if they come to Elevate. You watch them. Because they'll come up to you and they'll go, but if you love me. Guys, hey. You watch it, guys. Guys, you watch it, because you can heckle me and I will pop you down from up here. You listen to me, girls. And guys, you keep your mouth shut. I'll get on the girls when it's time. But girls, listen to me. And this is why I put the onus on the guy, because the guy's ahead. And the guy should know a lot better. And the guys, it's your responsibility to treat women as queens, as royalties, not as dirt that you walk on and can use them for whatever you want to. Listen to me, guys. Don't be pulling that junk around me. Girls, that guy comes to you and says, but if you love me, you say, no, if you loved me, you would wait. If you love me, you keep it in your pants. Hey, I ain't playing. Because you know what? Girls, you're faced with that decision every day. And you better be ready. You better be ready. You better be ready to just say, no, I'm sorry, but God has something better for me. But if you love me, if you really love me, no. Your answer should be, no. If you really loved me, you would wait. And guys, you know why I ain't going to come on you? Because you should know better. You're the head. And you need to start being young men. Men of God. You hear me? You're smart enough that when a girl comes around, because yeah, there's some girls just like that, you're smart enough to know better. Right? But what? Which one are you going to be? You're going to be David and blow it all? Because watch, you come back next week. I know I'm a little hard tonight. You come back next week and let's see what happens with David, because I'm going to show you. Or you can come back next week and find out what happens to Joshua. And you can look at their two lives, because guys, every decision is going to come down right there. Guys, every decision is going to come down. What's going to be that deciding factor? And it comes down to what you value the most. See, you can do it because the word will guide your values. And you can picture the future God has for you. The decision factor is allowing the word to shape your values to make great decisions. That that will enhance your destiny.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Podcast. For more information on Elevate, log on to www.myspace.com/ElevateYouthCC.